This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Let's go ahead and open up to the book of James, if you would. 2 weeks ago, I began a series entitled The Choices and spoke to one of the greatest curses to any civilization or to any individual, and that is the use of alcohol. If you weren't here for that, then you know, I would recommend you go back and check on the internet, on our system. We have something there on that message. And some people say, well, Sherry was telling other people that most churches won't touch that. And if they do touch it, they'll touch it only at night. We do it in the daytime. Well, today we're going to dig a deeper hole. So James chapter 1, verse 13, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good music this morning. We thank you for the sweet spirit. We thank you for the reading of your word. We know it's very important. We live in a day where sin is rampant, much more so maybe in times past. And yet, compared to tomorrow, it's very tame. And so we need to be aware of things that are going on and how to deal with them. So we pray that you bless the reading of your word to our spiritual understanding. I pray that everybody in our viewing audience, whether here or live stream, has received Christ as Savior. To do that, they have to understand their great need to be saved. Sinners facing an eternal damnation without Christ, unable to save themselves, but our Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He lived a sinless life, went to the cross, nothing for what he did, everything for what we have done or will do. Paid the price in full, the blood paid the debt. His death, burial, and resurrection satisfied you. And the transaction is repentance toward you and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray that that would happen. And I can't make that happen, obviously. But that it would happen for anybody either here or watching that is lost. I also ask that you guide the giving forth of your word and the way it's given, and that I, as always, would not be in your way. I want the Holy Spirit to move upon me and upon the listeners as well, for then everything will gel the way it's supposed to. So, Father, we ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's the 10th month, 13th day. Non-coincidentally, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know I've done it early on in my Christian life. Nobody is going through what I've gone through. But the verse says that common to man. mankind. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. He won't allow what comes from outside or even inside to overcome you. And sometimes we're prone to giving up. But we have to understand, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. How many of God's people believe that today? And I'm not going to go anywhere else for now. You better believe it. And you better act on it. I mean, a lot is at stake here. Today I'm going to deal with a kind of a silent sin, and oftentimes secretive, that has crept into the church via its people, especially through the quote-unquote gift of the internet. And that silent sin is the scourge of pornography. Some people have told other preachers, nobody's told me, but I've heard this from other preachers, you shouldn't really deal with this. Well, we have to deal with it. It's important to deal with it. And as with alcohol, you have a choice to make. Daniel gave us a great example by abstaining from the king's wine, even if it cost him his life. I mean, that was where he was coming from. I mean, we think we would die for maybe the Word of God. We would die for the cardinal, maybe, truths of the Word of God. But for abstaining from alcohol, he was willing to do that. I doubt there are too many believers like Daniel. I really do. They would because many people consider it less than, why are you making a case for this at all with regards to obedience to God's word? Didn't, and I don't want to go into this, but didn't Jesus make wine out of water? Well, we dealt with that. That's why you go back there. Some people will even say, well, pornography isn't even mentioned in the Bible. I got bad news for you. There are four Greek words, and they all deal with the word which we have now deal with, which is pornography. One is porneo, one is porno, and there's a third and a fourth one. But they all start with P-O-R-N, porn. And we translate those words 9 times into whore or whores, whoremonger or whoremongers, and then 9 times as harlot or harlots. So it's very present there. Secularly speaking, pornography is defined as depictions of sexual acts or behavior in writing, in photographs, in motion pictures or videos, magazines, things like that, in order to stimulate sexual erotic feelings. From whores and whoremongers and harlots, because they're all intertwined. So you're probably not crazy about statistics, I'm not either. But what I'm about to read is extremely disturbing. Most of the times I can look upon polls and statistics and see that they are 10, 12 years old. This one is 1 year old. It was published in World Magazine on October 13th, 2018. It was put together by Barna and a group called Covenant Eyes, which has a filtering service for the internet. And so this is only 1 year old, and I'm asking, it's not very long, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. it should be disturbing. 47% of families in the United States reported that pornography is a problem in their home. Now, some of these are general. Some of them are dealing with people of faith. 70% of Christian youth leaders report that they have had at least one teen coming to them for help in dealing with pornography over the last year. 70%. Number three, 56% of American divorces involve one party having an obsessive interest in pornographic websites. Obsessive interest. I know somebody like that. 65% of church-going men view porn on a regular basis. 65%. 50% of pastors do the same. Now, if we're going to deal with Catholicism, we know that it's a conservative number, but there are at least 55% of the priesthood that are homosexual. Why would anyone want to be involved with a group like that when you have somebody leading involved in that? Why would anybody want to be sitting under a pastor that is involved with that? I mean, I don't understand it. I'm not one of that 50%. But I don't understand. I know what it is. It's because it's so secretive. And generally, it's not. You don't go around and say, "Hey, have you seen this site or have you seen that site?" It just stays very hidden. Of young Christian adults in the age of 18 to 24, 76% actively search for pornography. 59% of pastors said that married men seek their help because of the usage of pornography. 13% of identified Christian women say they never watch porn. And 87% admit that they do watch porn. This is staggering. 55% of married men, 25% of married women say they watch porn at least once a month. So when somebody says, "You don't want to preach on something like this," do you understand how prevalent it is? How common it is? How not many people look at this as abnormal? The revenues that come from pornography in the United States alone are bigger than the revenues of the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, or Major League Baseball. Hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. Most of the profits are generated by sleazy video stores that are run at the back of respectable businesses. Number one, your mainline providers like AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, whatever, and cable and satellite companies, they all include that on their listings, and hotel chains that earn millions by supplying adult films to their guests. So then it shouldn't surprise you that the United States of America is the leading producer of pornography. I mean, there are some filthy, rotten, immoral countries in the world, but we're number one. Number one. Isn't that a good reputation? Do you wonder why the Muslims call us the great Satan? But of course, they have a place where they can go and do the same thing. If you don't want to be free from this scourge, you have lots of company. I mean, just think of the listings, the percentages that I gave you. And what God has to say won't mean much to you if you don't want to. So go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Take a very brief foundation here. Genesis chapter 1. And we'll start, just want to read one verse, verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. As a man and a woman are made in the image of God, then the theological foundation against pornography begins with the premise that every human life is sacred and has dignity. Pornography is a lie. Pornography destroys the innocence of children. The relationship of pornography to sexual child abuse is staggering. 80% of those that abuse boys and 90% of those that abuse girls are regular, hardcore users of pornography. Florida family law, whatever you may think of it, is very lacking, sadly lacking, as to determining custody in dealing with this fact. Well, the mind is a spiritual battleground in this war. And again, the stakes are extremely high. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I don't think I've surprised anyone here as to telling you what the foundation of pornography is. The people that are involved in it, behind it. And I don't want to get graphically involved in some of that business, but I want to get graphically involved in what God says. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25 says, let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. You know, if you're familiar with anything from Hollywood, historically they have no peripheral vision. None whatsoever. You can watch a film and somebody can walk in and stand right there and they don't see them. And you look as, why didn't they see them? Well, it's not in the script. You don't have peripheral vision in Hollywood. But we have too much. And we have to narrow that field. And again, that's a choice you make. You narrow the field so that you're looking single. You're not looking, I'm not looking at this and looking at everybody at the same time. You're looking in one direction. Okay, go back to chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Chapter 5, verse 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And what are you doing with pornography? And if thy right eye offend thee, and the biblical description of offend is to cause you to commit sin, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and that not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now you note he's not talking literally there, he's talking symbolically there. Do something about what's causing you to sin. You have the ability, if you say you're born again, then you have the ability to correct whatever it is that's going on. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, it says to set your mind on things above. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, to think on things that are true and honest and pure and of good report. You can't view or engage in anything that's pornographic and do those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we are to take our thought life and make it in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. But someone comes along and says, hey, I'm only looking. Well, if I'm not mistaken, you can take crystal meth one time and be hooked. I mean, totally addicted. And I believe that the same thing happens with porn. And soon you're lockstep in it. Because this is something that Satan works through the flesh in an abnormal way that just captures people and won't let go. Just like alcohol. We have two natures, and the one you feed wins. If I'm going to feed the spirit, the spirit's going to win. The flesh is going to give way to the spirit. But if I feed the flesh, the spirit's not going to get out his fists and just punch the flesh. You have a free will. If you want to be controlled by the flesh, you can be controlled by the flesh, but there's consequences. But we have two natures, and we don't have to succumb to the flesh. And we have to realize what God offers is far better than anything the world can offer. So go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we'll begin here in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. John chapter 10, verse 10, talks about our Lord coming to give us life and to give it abundantly, more abundantly. We're dealing with guidance and direction and blessing and joy versus the alternative. And aberration of everything that's holy. A perversion of everything that's holy. Because in the flesh, what is there of the flesh that's holy? Nothing. You know, sex as God intended it leaves you, feels you feeling loved, cared for. Pornography leaves you stranded and feeling lonelier and desirous for more and to copy what it is you've seen as though that's normal. Temptation is always, always, always defeatable. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God has made in his faithfulness a way that the temptation does not press you down to the point where you say, I can't help myself. No, the way of escape is always there. With the temptation, the way of escape has been right there. And sin always brings consequences. Porn or pornography thrives in part because there's this idea that no one will ever know. It's just me. It's just me and my phone or my computer or my videos. But there are spiritual consequences. There are mental consequences. There's your thoughts toward women change. Your thoughts toward men change. And relationship and what behavior is acceptable. Everything is out of sorts. And the justification is deviant. And there's scores of people that hold to that. Look at, you're in chapter 6. Go to chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. The idea that no one will ever find out. No one will ever know. Verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Numbers 32, verse 23, your sin will find you out. And then, of course, James 1, 14 and 15, your sin's going to lead to death. Destruction. So maybe you have an advantage over other people for a while, but ultimately, God's going to find you out, and it's going to be made known. So what's at stake? I believe it starts here, that we need to take a stand by getting down on our knees in prayer and praying earnestly for our nation, for those who identify themselves as a believing people, and it's necessary, even ourselves. Secondly, we need to be the salt and light that God intended us to be in this culture. How am I being salt and light if I'm engaging in this kind of material? And we all need accountability. The internet on your phone or on your personal computer has kind of like brought an interstate highway of pornography into every single community, every single computer has exit ramps, and there's schools, there's libraries, there's colleges. There's bedrooms. This stuff is everywhere. We have a Supreme Court that won't take a stand for anything that's vile. It's all free expression defended by the First Amendment. And so it's no wonder this just goes and goes and goes. We have to be a people to make sure that it's not on our phone, that it's not on our computer. Now, that's why you have filters. That's why there's junk mail to protect you from that kind of thing. The pastor has a church that's a little considerably larger than ours, obviously. And what I'm about to quote is what he wrote. I had a hard time believing that over half the men in our church would really be accessing porn. So in the early part of the year, I asked the church where we attended and pastored at the time if they would be willing to take a survey. They agreed, and in the survey, among other questions, we asked the men, when was the last time you looked at pornography? The church was made mostly of young families, but there is a blend of older families as well. And the idea that many of the husbands and fathers that I sat next to every Sunday were dabbling in pornography, I couldn't comprehend it. Surely, I thought, the numbers would be low. It can't be half. Not in my church. These words are what he found. 25% had viewed porn within the past month. 44% within the past 6 months. 61% within the past year. Now you think that it's pretty brave to be able to have the men in his church agree to that. I'm not going to do that. But in your hearts, you know where you stand. Go with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This would be a prayer of a believing person crying out for help. Look at Psalm 139, verse 23. No, I'm sorry. I got the wrong passage, but it says, "Keep me from presumptuous sins." Keep me from presumptuous sins. The other one is found in, I'm pretty sure this is accurate, Psalm 101. Praying in the Spirit to keep the flesh from presumptuous sins. There's a lot of things we do that are presumptuous. They're not thought out. We engage the flesh and it acts. Well, if you engage the Spirit, He acts too. Psalm 101, and look at verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. It is a statement, it's an absolute statement of a position that all of us should hold. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Listen, if you're guilty, own up to it. Own up to it. Confess it and repent of it and arrange your life to stay away. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have His power. You can't do it in the flesh. You can say, you know, I've got this habit and I can't get rid of it and I'm trying to get rid of it. Well, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to help you get rid of it? Why don't you allow Him to control your habit? Because then the habit will go and you'll have a new habit. You know what the new habit is? Surrendered and yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit. Pornography is a scourge. It is. It's a sin and it's prevalent. I hope it would not be here, but I have no way of saying I know that it's not here. And again, if you're there, you need to own it. If you want to continue to own it, then you understand. James chapter 3, 1 and 13, 14 and 15. Go ahead. You keep going and keep going, and you're just destroying yourself. I don't want that for you. God doesn't want that for you. And you should not want that for you. You should have enough respect for the dignity and sacredness of life that you don't engage in things that are destroying you. Let's pray. I don't know where you are spiritually. Only you know that. I don't know what the Lord may have said to you in addition or just from the message itself. But I do know this, that if you have an issue in this particular situation, you need to deal with it. You cannot put it off and be safe. You need to deal with it. If you're here and you're not saved, the Lord wants to save you. More than anything, He wants to save you. And He will save you if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. The Lord may have been speaking in another way altogether. But in the application of what I've just said, we need to deal with the sin problems in life. We cannot avoid them. We cannot put them off. We need to deal with them. And then correct the things that are wrong. Not in our power, because we have no power, but in His power. Father, we ask that You oversee in the invitation and that Your will might be accomplished here in our lives. We cannot hide from the fact that we can be one thing on the outside and a totally different thing on the inside and still be completely controlled by the flesh. We should desire more than anything to be controlled by the Holy Spirit in all things. It is the only way of blessing. It's the only way for finding obedience. It's the only way that the flesh can be put down. So we ask that You would have Your way in the invitation, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.